face of the day, Gary, comes up at 5:40, a benchmark 66, goes without 4, 8, 10 and 11. Fixed odds here, one, As He's Ready is a $61 chance, one of the roughies there. Number two, Pell is at 120. Three, Tornado of Souls, it's $5.50. Five is Call Me Brad at 12. Now, six, Lips and Lashes, 4.80. Seven, Queen of Blaze, $3.30 is your favourite. You've got nine, Akeed, it's at $8. Now, 12, I Am a Crumpet, it's 4.40 into 3.40 this morning. And then you've got 13, Squared at 19, and 14, Rolling in Riches at 61. What do you like in the last?
I think there's four good chances. I'm with I Am a Crumpet, trained on the track here by Dan Bowie. Grant Buckley's got some good rides today. This is another one. This horse has got terrific speed. She'll jump and run the mare. She's won two out of five with two places. She's won two out of three on the track. Suited to the 1,000. Barrier one. Wacko. As soon as they jump, straight to the front. There is a lot of speed in it, but I think she'll win. Number seven, Queen of Blaze. Louise Day will take the claim today. Just hung the other day. Would have won it wild if she didn't, didn't do what she did on the home turn. She just wanted to hang a bit on that tight home turn at Wyong. She'd be better suited on the big track today. Angela's got her going at her absolute top. She's a big danger. Lips and Lashes won two on the trot before a city failure. Don't let that fool you. It's much better than the run in town. And Tornado of Souls won well the other day. 12-7-6-10-3.
12-7-6-3, Anthony Manton putting 12 to beat 7-9-6. Recap your best there. It's in race three, isn't it, Gary?
Yeah, mate. Race three, number one, catching six.
All right, and we'll catch you on track all afternoon with your late mail. Enjoy Musselbrook, mate. Thank you.
Yeah, mate. Great day, great club, and a terrific track.
Well done. Thank you. Gary Harley there with the late mail. Anthony Manton, our caller. We'll catch up with him at about 10 to 12, get his best. The Tab Movers with Anthony and Trent Langscull at about 20 past 12. If you're heading up to Musselbrook this afternoon, when you lose our signal, flick it across to 103.3 FM. You should be clearly hearing Sky Sports Radio in lovely FM. 28 to 11, we are going Chasing and Pacing Rewind in just a moment.
Sky Sports Radio talks harness racing every Tuesday morning. Hear from the newsmakers, trainers, drivers and club officials throughout the state. On the Pace, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 on Sky Sports Radio.
I should mention the Jockey Challenge, of course, Musselbrook today. Gary there said Grant Buckley's got some good rides. He's currently $4. Jay Ford is $3.60. Darryl McClellan at $4.50. Winona Costa, $9.50. Chad Lever, $14. Luke Rolls at $21. Christian Reith at $26. Any other jockey, which includes Hugh Bowman today with two rides, currently $3.80.
Chasing and Pacing Rewind, Sunday mornings at 10:30.
Yes, we have the Greyhound part of the show with Michael Cowley coming up shortly, but firstly, we're honoured. Andrew Bensley, Chasing and Pacing Rewind, doing a harness racing. He never sleeps, Andrew Bensley. Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you, Kev. Yeah, look, Fred's having a few Saturdays off, counting down to Bathurst's big final meeting this Friday night. And, gee, we've seen two terrific nights, Friday and Saturday night, the Gold Crown, the Gold Tiara, and we've got a massive afternoon program tomorrow, the Bracelet and the Chalice Heat. So let's go to Danny Dwyer. He's the club secretary at Bathurst. Morning to you, Danny.
Ben, how are you this morning?
Very well, mate. It's been an exciting build-up to it all, and gee, watching some of the action Friday and last night, it's really been on.
Certainly has been. This is the first year we've been in a position to run four Group 1 finals on the Friday night, and with the Chalice and the Bracelet now being increased in prize money to $100,000 to give us that Group 1 status. And as you said there, last two nights of the Friday night with the Gold Tiara and last night with Quality Racing with the Crown. Certainly some tremendous colts and geldings racing there last night, Benz, and you know, really looking forward to the big finals in about 6 days' time.
We'll get to those in a moment, but if we can, let's go back to Friday night, first of all, and we had the Gold Crown heats, and Mac Dan's up there for Emma Stewart. We had a good performance by Pat McGarry to cause a bit of an upset in the second heat of the Gold Crown. Smooth Bart for Steve Turnbull was able to do it, and look, it was all round a pretty strong night of racing.
Yeah, certainly was, and on Friday night with the fillies, yeah, I think the two most dominant fillies out of the heat winners was Michelle Leback for Colin McDowell. It was a very impressive winner. Certainly went the quickest time of the night, went at 157.3 mile rate. That was its second win last on Friday night from its third start. it looks like a lot of promise. Handed up the lead, still very was good enough to win. I think she'll be very hard to beat in the final. And I thought I Can Run as well, the other heat winner earlier in the evening, was very impressive as well. She can use the sprint lane for Robbie Morris, came up with a win there. It went 159, 1 mile rate, was its second win from three starts. And I'm sure if the draws fall the right way, it's going to be a very interesting final from those fillies on Friday night there.
Yeah, we've seen that filly I Can Run do pretty good things for Kerri-Ann Turner in the last couple of starts. But, gee, we're starting to see some really strong times from youngsters, aren't we? I mean, the mile rate 159.1, Danny, particularly with I Can Run.
Yeah, certainly. And then last night that was topped off well too with Gillaby Nitro running 154.5 after an inch of rain and on a good track there later on in the evening. But yes, you're right, and it was kind of the quality of the colts is just magnificent when you look at the form of all the winners. Very much, I think five of the heat winners in the crown last night are all undefeated now going into the final. The biggest one there with Mystery Rose has had four starts now from four wins. MacBan, three starts from three wins. Smooth Barts, two starts from two wins, and then Gillaby Nitro and Major Bob, which was also an enormous win too after galloping out and getting home and to win 158. So it's certainly going to be a great final, and as always, the barrier draw is going to be all important.
It will be. Now, just take us through the Gold Tiara and the Gold Crown. When do their draws take place, Danny?
Yeah, those draws will be done tomorrow evening, Ben, after the race meeting. So around about 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, we'll do the barrier draw for both finals here in the clubhouse. And, yeah, those fields will certainly be available around about 7:30, quarter to 8 tomorrow evening.
Okay. Righto, we'll get them out as soon as we can tomorrow night. But the one thing, as you've spelled out pretty well there, with horses that are in good form, that the draws are going to be vital for Friday night.
Yeah, it certainly is. And from past experience, Ben, you've got to come into the series, I think, with a win or at least a win in the heat to win the finals. And that's what's been the trend in previous years. And as I said earlier, when you look at the form of these horses, unbeaten, with five of the heat winners are unbeaten in their starts, that's going to be going to lead to a great final. As I say, barrier draws are very important. Major Bob's picked up an outside draw from his win last night, so he'll draw barrier 10 regardless. So, I don't think that's a negative for them. I think that's still a pretty good draw. So, yeah, but obviously the 1-8 becomes very important. And, Tampagari, he won his heat last night from barrier 8, so he may be one of the lesser chances in the final based on their times last night, but to win a heat from barrier 8's a good effort as well. So you can't dismiss any of those horses if they come up with a good barrier.
No, I understand. And just briefly, Major Bob, you've mentioned there that the draw circumstances for the final, but geez, it was good the last couple of 100 metres.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's, I think three of the heat winners there led last night, Ben. He's galloped out and come from a long way back, and maybe not have, the race time might not have been as good as, say, Gillaby Nitro and Mac Dan, but his individual sectionals during that race would have been fantastic. And he's backed up his win there after a win at his first start at Newcastle, I think it was. So he's coming in with good form and in a strong stable there too with Shane and Lauren Tritt. So I think he'll be very hard to beat. As I said, I don't think Barry 10 can be too much of a disadvantage in the big final with just starting two horses off the second row. So yeah, I think he'll be very hard to beat as well.
That's the Gold Crown from last night with the heats. Now, a big afternoon program tomorrow beginning just after 1:30. We get down to the bracelet and the challenge chalice heats tomorrow.
Yeah, certainly got three heats at the bracelet. Come up with a pretty quality field there of fillies as well. And just looking through the heats there. In the first heat, the two main chances in that heat look like, for all we know, for Kevin Pizzuto and Luke McCarthy. And Miss Halfpenny's coming in with good form as well in that heat with Paul Paul and Gavin Fitzpatrick. In the second heat, Brooklyn's Best, it's coming into, which she's a very nice filly, drawn a little bit wide, but I think she'd be very hard to beat there for Shane and Lauren Tritton as well. And Bernie Hewitt's come up with barrier 1 with right about Lexi, and I think she'll go into the race there as favourite as well in the third heat. So I think those horses, you follow those ones there, then you shouldn't be too far off the money. With the three heats, the top four will go through to the final on Friday night as well.
and the Gold Chalice. We're about to chat with Jason Lee. Drives War Dan Delight, which is certainly going to be one of the dominating chances in those heats tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, certainly. It's a little bit like the Crown heats as well. There's a fair bit of quality across the Chalice. A lot of horses coming up in good form and you know, have been racing very well as a three-year-old. As you said, War Dan Delight, there he looks very hard to beat in his heat. The Shooby Doo for Amanda Turnbull also coming in into the heat two on Monday afternoon there in good form with a big win at Young at its last start in a high-quality race there, the Derby. Come across then to the third heat, and you've got first spring there for Craig Cross, and Luke McCarthy's coming into that heat tomorrow with two wins out of his last three starts. He's drawn barrier two, and he looks like he's going to be very hard to beat. And then you've got Lock and Lara, you know, he's just been a superstar as well, and he's come across with barrier seven in his heat, the last one tomorrow afternoon. But you know, he's certainly a super horse, and he'll go into that race tomorrow as a short price favourite as well. But first three will qualify for those finals with four heats there, Ben. So yeah, got to finish in the top three to progress through to the $100,000 final next Friday night.
All right, so they're the Chalice and the Bracelers heats tomorrow at Bathurst in the afternoon, and then the draws will be done, and then a massive Friday night this week coming up of all the finals for these races. We'll talk more about it during the week, of course, on the pace on Tuesday morning with Greg Hayes as well. But, Danny, good luck with the week ahead. Hope it's a beauty, mate.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ben. Yeah, and the four big group ones, $750,000, I think, in total prize money out of the carnival. So, yeah, certainly very, very popular carnival, and it's going to be great racing on Friday night.
It will be for sure. Good on you, Danny. Danny Dwyer joining us there, Kevin, from the Bathurst Club. And, well, we've had two nights of thrilling racing so far, and tomorrow afternoon and then into that big final on Friday night. It'll just continue out there.
And, Ben, can I say that I think Danny's probably gone now, but the website for the Gold Crown Bathurst Harness Racing, I just wanted to compliment him. It's so easy to have a look at. Have you breezed through it? It's just beautifully set up.
No.
So much information.
Yeah.
It's a real credit to them.
Yeah, no, it is. It just spells out all the information. Obviously, you can go to the harness.org site and click on the results if you want to see the replays or the videos or the fields for that. But it spells out all the details. And, you know, we're talking about a race series that's covering, as Danny said, $750,000 in prize money, and horses come from all parts to be a part of it, Kev.
Indeed, it's a fabulous time of year. Bathurst on the map when it comes to the great race in sort of October, November, and on the map during this part of the year with the Gold Crown for a long time. Your next guest awaits, Andrew Bensley.
Jason Lee's joining us. They're up from Victoria with Margaret. They had two winners last night at Bathurst. Morning to you, Jace.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good to talk to you, mate. When you bring horses to Bathurst, as we were just discussing there with Club Secretary Danny Dwyer, they're always competitive races, but to get away with Jillaby Nitro and, of course, winning the Smooth Satin Pacing Cup Jillaby Bandit last night, it's a good start to the carnival.
Yeah, definitely. It's the first time I've been a part of the carnival and watched it over the years. And I know Peter Manning was always a big supporter of it, and Glenn had come up with him a couple of times, so it was great to come up, and yeah, even better to get a couple of winners, so it makes the trip worthwhile.
The Gold Crown heat winner for you, Jillaby Nitro, rating 154.5, which is remarkable given that we had a break in the meeting last night, Jason, because of the heavy electrical storm that we had with heavy rain. How good is this two-year-old going forward?
Yeah, we really like him. Done everything we've asked, but I'm sure most people like their horses in the race too, so he probably copped a little bit of pressure and had to sort of run the time with the other one outside and getting a bit keen, but yeah, he's done all he can ask and he's in the final, and yeah, we're just happy to have a runner.
Is there a favourable draw for him? Is he a horse that, I mean, I know that you had to work out in lead, but is that the preference with him?
I don't think so. Look, it'd be nice to draw a good gate, as always, and be able to put him in a handy position. But he's the sort of horse that can come with a run or lead. He's probably a lot of the time come with a run in his trials or his work. So, yeah, it won't worry him if he has to come with a run. But as anything, if the tempo doesn't suit, then it's always tough to come off the speed. So we prefer to be drawn as close in as possible.
That's Dillaby Nitro heading towards the Gold Crown final on Friday night. The Smooth Satin Pacing Cup winner last night was Dillaby Bandit, and again, you were able to get to the lead. You had to do some work to get there.
Yeah, look, he just sort of come as a travelling mate as the other bloke, and it was a real suitable race there, and obviously he drew inside his main dangers, and he did a little bit of work early, and sort of was good enough to hold on, but he's a funny horse. He doesn't travel real well, and he's not the most genuine in a race. He turned for home, and the horse following him probably looked like the driver crashed into the back of me, but it probably wasn't really his fault, as my fella just pulled up and half come to a stop. So yeah, it was great to get the win with him, and hopefully he'll tune up and be a bit fitter and a bit sharper again next week.
I'm glad you've said that, because I must admit that watching just the race vision, I wasn't too sure what had happened. So the horse trailing you, for people that may not have caught it last night, but Matt Jackson, the race caller, picked it up, that that the horse behind you galloped really badly and had to drop out over the concluding stages, but it was really your horse stopping.
Yeah, it probably looked bad for Brendan Barnes, but it definitely wasn't his fault. I turned for home, and my fella, I just whipped the plugs, and he just seen all the action up the straight and just dropped a bit and yeah, half pulled up, so it was a bit inconvenient for the ones behind him as they crashed up the back of him. But he's just a casual sort of fella, and yeah, once they got up near him, he got racing again. But yeah, he didn't want to sort of run to the line when he first turned for home. He was a bit scared of everything.
Yeah, Dillaby Bandit winning last night, Smooth Satin Pacing Cup, and that's good information. Rock with Sam for Brendan Barnes did drop out, and as you've spelled out, it wasn't totally his fault. Hey mate, tomorrow you've got a drive and a genuine chance in the Gold Chalice. Wardan Delight drawn favourably and looks clearly the one to beat in that first heat tomorrow.
Yeah, he's drawn well enough, and Dean's pretty happy with that horse. We've just seen how good he was through the series up in New South Wales with the Derby and the heat and the final. And, he's a lovely animal, and I haven't sat behind him before. I meant to drive him last start, and he was just a scratching there. Just had a little mishap, but he's back on track now and looking forward to jumping on him.
Yeah, that's tomorrow afternoon with the Gold Chalice and Braceless Heats. And you're staying with Amanda Turnbull. You'll just keep those horses that you've made through to the finals, just do a little bit of work with them between now and Friday?
Yeah, just keep them ticking over. There's not a big gap between runs. So the older horse will probably have to do a little bit more Bandit, but the two-year-old, he won't have to do a lot after he had a good blowout last night. But yeah, staying with the Turnbulls and Amanda and Steve and just a whole lot of the guys out there, they're just unbelievable. Could not be any more thankful for what they've been able to do and just make you feel like home. So, no, very thankful for all they've done.
Good on you. Well done, Jace. Hope it's continued success tomorrow and then again on Friday night with the big grand finals.
Thanks, Andrew. Have a good one.
Good on you. Jason Lee, a double last night with Mum Margaret, and let's hope that they can have good success, and we'll certainly be all over tomorrow. Fred Hastings heading out there tomorrow, Kev, with the first just after 1:30, and I know you're on tomorrow night, so the barrier draws, you'll have them for Friday night, so we'll have it all covered tomorrow here on Sky.
And you've got a day off, haven't you, tomorrow? What's that about?
Yes, no, there won't be much of a day off, Kev, no, we'll just keep pounding away.
Good on
Kev.
You. As you do.
Look, good to be talking to you, mate, and I know Mick Cowley's absolutely chomping at the bit to talk about Wentworth Park last night.
Lovely. Thank you, Vince. We'll catch up with you Tuesday morning, no doubt, Racing HQ.
Good on you. Thanks, Kev.
Andrew Bensley there for Chasing and Pacing Rewind, and what an introduction to Michael Cowley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales. Hello, Mick.
Hello, mate. Geez, that's very special, wasn't it? I can't believe Ben's got a day off, though.
No, but the boss has given you the introduction, so that's pretty impressive.
Doesn't get much better than that. I better make sure I'm on my best behaviour today, then.
Yeah, well, you know he'll be listening, as he always does. Look, plenty to talk about things we get stuck into it. Let's look at Wentworth Park last night. Firstly, the heats of the Gold Cup staying event, the Group 3 final is on next Saturday night. Talk us through the two heat winners here.
Mate, it's very impressive. Obviously, a lot of these dogs, apart from being a Group 3 event, which is well and truly worthwhile winning next Saturday night, but they're also aimed at that Group 1 Association Cup, which will be run during the Easter Egg Carnival next month. And, mate, the name on everyone's tongue last night was John Finn. Not only did he provide both winners of both heats, Pogo Dorado and Valeche Nero, but he also qualified Blue Moon Rising and two times twice. All four of them we've spoken about on this show before. Mm. They're all kennel mates, but also litter mates out of that Chickadessa Carter litter. Just incredible. Four dogs, half the field in next week's Group 3 final. It's quite remarkable. A fantastic training performance, but it just says so much about that litter. And I have also heard, I've also read, that the next Chickadessa Carter litter is on its way, and that'll be interesting to see how they perform. They've got a bit to follow in the footprints of these ones, Kev.
What else do we have last night? The Easter Egg Prelude, yeah?
Yes, we did, yeah. We've been, for the last few weeks, we've been running quite a few of these Easter Egg Preludes for the dogs trying to force their way into the heats of the Easter Egg, which will be run on April the 6th at Wentworth Park. Last night we had some good performances. We had Good Odds Harada, which is the only Prelude winner to actually break 30 seconds last night. Fantastic run, 29.73. Among the other winners, we also had Sunset Flames, 30.07, and Nangar Diva, 30.05. But all three of those trainers have indicated that they're not going to head towards the Easter Egg. They're actually going to head towards the Group 3 New Sensation. The $25,000 final, that will be run on April 20, the same night as the Easter Egg final. All three have decided that's their best option at this stage. The dogs are young enough to compete in that series, and that's the way they want to go. There was one dog last night, however, that will be contesting the Easter Egg heats, and it was good to see Buck's Future bounce back to form. Pause of Thunder winner from back in January. Jumped straight on the bunny. Didn't get things all his own way, but certainly ran some time. Ran 29.59, which is just 1/100th outside his personal best at the track, which was actually run when he was run down by Poker Bear in the heats of the Pause of Thunder back in January. So there's we are building up well and truly for the Easter Egg, and as part of that we also had some interstate dogs that headed to Wentworth Park last night to do some trialing, get a bit of a look at the track. The best of those was, Brooke Ennis, she brought a whole heap up, actually. She brought Baruga Bet, the Tim Lee, the Group 1 Tim Lee winner, Fabwick, Southern Ripple, Ella Enchanted, and Trit Trit. Best of the trials was actually Ella Enchanted, who went around with Trit Trit, ran 29.62. Pretty impressive performance. Southern Ripple was slowly away. Will certainly benefit from a look at the track. He ended up running 30.6. Baruga Brett was pretty good, 30.06. As I said, they were the ones for the Brooke Ennis kennel. Anthony Azzopardi also brought a couple up. He brought Whiskey Wright and Fernando Wright. And Whiskey Wright won that trial by 3¾ lengths in 29.84. So we're starting to get a bit of outside action for dogs that'll head towards Wentworth Park in early April and through that whole series. Plus, obviously, we'll talk about a bit about it later, the Perth Cup last night. And a few of those will be headed our way as well, Kev.
Okay. Before we leave last night, I should say the market's out for the Gold Cup final. We have Poco Dorado box 2 $1.80, Blue Moon Rising in box 3 at $4.40, and Veloce Nero box 5 at $5.50. The rest are in double figures there. That market is up at tab. Staying at sorry?
Just while we're on that, $1.80 for Poco Dorado. I know she loves Wentworth Park. She got a fantastic record there. Last night was 12 of 13 staying. But, $1.80 just seems a little light for me. And I noticed on social media this morning, better judges than me, including our own Tim Newbold, was thinking that Double G, the Queenslander, is big odds. I think it's about $14.
It is $14. Yeah, okay.
Might be a bit of value for some early shoppers.
Okay, we'll keep that one in mind. Staying at Wentworth Park, Mick, we did have on Friday night, the second night of Friday Night Lightning. I know that Mitch Manners loves going to Wentworth Park on a Friday night because he takes his towel, he jumps in the hot tub, he's on a mechanical bull, he's playing the pinball, table tennis, and in between time he calls races. The concept's a good one. You've got another few weeks off Friday Night Lightning. Just also talk us through I know all races at this, it's an abridged meeting. All races are over the 280 metres. There's a reward, isn't there, at the end for trainers? It's a point scoring set up over these races?
Yeah, that's the way it works. Look, initially, the plan wasn't that it would be all races over 280 metres. Yeah, we kind of thought we'd blend some 520s in there as well. But the demand for 280s has just been phenomenal, particularly from country trainers. They all want to get their dogs to Wentworth Park to race on the city track for reasonable money on a Friday night. As you said, the trainers' incentive, what it is, it's $10,000 worth of incentives. And if your dog runs on a Friday night meeting, you're awarded points, whether that's, you know, 8 for 1st right down to 1 for 8. That point score is kept, and at the end of the 5 nights, and it's purely on the 280-metre races, as we said, at the end of the 5 nights, the trainer with the most points ends up taking home $7,000, and the other 3 are split up between 2nd and 3rd place getters. So there is a bit of incentive for trainers to get some dogs there, and at the moment, Alan Ivers is leading the point score over Rod McDonald, and I know both of those two trainers are bringing big numbers to each of those Friday nights just to try and get a few points and chase that incentive.
Well, let's have a listen to one of the wins from Friday night. We've got Soul Breaking. Here it is.
They're off. Brett Brand left only fair. Good speed, Soul Breaking. Brett Brand's trying to get across. Then Rafi Rose behind those Tiny Olivia Miss Mystery. A long way back, New Direction, Poppy Brand. In front, Soul Breaking. Brett Brand's coming. Oh, it's close. Soul Breaking or Brett Brand? Maybe Soul Breaking a nose.
There we go, Soul Breaking holding out Brett Brand by a nose. As you say, all over and done in 15 seconds. Talk us through that win by the six-year-old.
Exactly right. That's the point there. It's, yeah, the dog was 6 years and 3 months on Friday night, which is just remarkable. And so trained up at Kudal, Central West, by Amanda Jean. Amanda said they've actually tried to retire Soul Breaking a couple of times as a 4-year-old and then a 5-year-old. She just didn't want any out bar of it. She sulked and carried on if the other dogs were going to the races. She just wanted to be part of the racing team. So, you know, they basically bowed to her needs and put her back into work. And she doesn't do a lot of work. She does, like, walking machines. They trial her every couple of weeks, that sort of stuff, so that there's no impact on her joints. But as Amanda said, yeah, they don't make their dogs race. The dogs tell them whether they want to race.
So you can't take the dog for a walk. You take the dog off a lead and it goes running.
Yeah, exactly. It just wants to run like the breed is. So as I said, fantastic story. I did speak to Amanda before the race, and she was kind of just glad to be at Wentworth Park. It was Soul Breaking's first start at Wentworth Park, and she was happy about just getting there and having a run and being part of the series, which she's a big supporter of. But then after the race, she was very emotional, almost in tears, the fact that Soul Breaking, six-year-old dog, had actually won a race. It's just, you know, that's the type of stories that we are coming up with in this Friday Night Lightning series. It's good. As I said, a lot of country trainers are supporting it and backing it, and they're getting a run in the city, and their dogs are performing great. Time-wise, on Friday night, there was a bit of talk about Frisky, who's a very talented sprinter, that he could get close to the track record. Unfortunately, we got a bit of rain before Frisky's race, dampened the track a bit, and he still ran best of the night in 16:09. But his trainer, Patrick Mulroney, said he'll be back before the series is over to perhaps have another crack at that record.
Okay, let's rewind back to Thursday night. We had the Group 2 Maitland Cup, won by Blackforge.
Racing, Fernando Blaster away beautifully with Call Me Hugo, Dinah Hunter, Aston Duke, white on the track, Blackforge burning fuel, Corey Cody's back at the rear with Dinah Hunter, the favourite Fernando Blaster, burst clear down the side, Blackforge runs to second, a couple away burning fuel, Corey Cody, well back Aston Duke, Dinah Hunter, Fernando Blaster leads up to the bend, Blackforge shouldered it out of the way, Blackforge ran to the lead over Fernando Blaster, who tries to come back. Blackforge, Fernando Blaster, Blackforge, just over Fernando Blaster, burning fuel.
There we go. Phil Roberts calling there, Blackforge. What would you like to say about this one?
It was a case of, you know, persistence is finally rewarded for Darren Sultana and Blackforge. They've qualified for that many group finals, and finally to crack one. They finished second in the Bendigo Cup final last year, fourth in the Warrigal St Ledger, third behind Pindara Express in the Bulleye Gold Cup earlier this year, and earlier this month they finished second in the Richmond Derby behind Catch Me Curly. So, plus also they did qualify for the Blacktop last year up at the Gardens, but unfortunately dog got injured during the week in the lead up to that race had to be scratched, and history shows us now that Caitlin Keeping was the first reserve, got the start in Black Forge's place, and actually led all the way to win the Group 2 race. So finally for Darren and Black Forge and owner Colin Hall, they had a bit of luck. Great win, tough win, and there's that group success finally.
Well, let's move our eyes over to the west, and late last night with a big night of greyhound racing in Western Australia with the Perth Cup final. Here's how it went.
Away in racing, Campini went to the inside, so too did Orson Ellen, who crosses the field. West on Augie out wide goes to second. Hecton Bale underneath the